Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Shad.
And we continue our holiday horrors podcast of the month, theme of the month, I should say, with Black Christmases. Yeah, we're all covering all three Black Christmases.
And this time we're going to go in reverse order just to shake things up.
I'm excited to spend the break with you guys.
I'm going to go get Christmas lights for the dinner decor. Do Christmas lights expire?
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, rock, jingle
bell. Where's Helena?
Love you too.
Sorry. We shouldn't have let her go back by herself.
She's fine.
Come on, live a little.
No, wait, oh.
Some of my roommates are missing.
If I were missing, I'd want you to unleash the bloodhounds and track me down.
We were at the DKO fraternity last night.
Still creating problems, huh, right?
I will bring you to your knees.
With the wrong sisters.
So Black Christmas 2019. Well, it's not a lot like the old Black Christmas or the older Black Christmas. It takes a whole different route with it. It's not just a spoiler alert, it's not just a single guy hiding in the house. There's a whole conspiracy going on the campus. There's a group or individuals that's going around murdering off not just from the one sorority house, but from all of them. And it kind of reminds me of if this had been a Buffy episode, I could very easily see, you know, because there's something supernatural in this one. This is the first one where they throw in a supernatural element, too. And while I like the movie, it does have a couple of issues. One of them being the obvious. I feel like somewhere they did a test screening of this and someone didn't understand it. And they said, I need you to explain more about this whole thing with the bust of the founder and the black magic. So they mentioned several times about how the founder of the college was into black magic. To the point that at one scene where the girls are walking along talking, I say talking with air quotes up because One that's supposed to be talking, his mouth is not moving at all. And you can just hear that it's obviously just been recorded and added in later. This was supposed to be just a shot of them walking to campus. And they're like, let's put in some extra dialogue that explains once again, the founder of the college, Hawthorne, was into black magic. Because I think there's a lot of these movies where, you know, when you screen it for a test audience at a mall at 10 in the morning, you don't get the people who are the real target audience for this movie, you know?
Yeah.
You get your grandma and your aunt that's like, oh, I don't like the scary movies, but I'll go see it for free.
She wants every single little thing explained. This movie is like the Skulls mixed with Clueless, mixed with insert feminist movement movie here. It would be a combination of all those three movies.
Yeah, there's the social commentary part of this one is not very subtle at all. There's no subtext, it's just the text. They get a little heavy-handed with that.
It's very heavy-handed, and I'm gonna say that over you, because I don't want people being crazy and being like, of course you would say that because you're a man! I am a woman, and I am also agreeing with this man that this was a little heavy on the feminist movement side. But it was written by two women and directed by the same woman. Co-written and directed by a woman.
They actually have that scene in the movie, too, where the guy says, did you just mansplain to me? Did you just not all men me? Yeah. There was someone that was a little, like, it was a little heavy-handed. They could have cut a little out and still got the same message across.
It's that whole comment that Jason Blum had, you know, stating that not a lot of women were doing horror, but it's the truth. Not a lot of women. I mean, Soska sisters. Boom. Period. The end. Like, I'm show me someone else that is just as well known as they are. I'm sure there's a ton of up and coming. Obviously, we have gone over many movies within this podcast that are either written and or written and directed by a woman. But that's just starting now. That's not the whole history of horror has been riddled with women directors and writers. That's just not a thing because it just was not a thing. I'm not going to answer why because I don't know why. I love, obviously, horror films. So that's not something that I can even fathom. Like, why I wouldn't do that if I was a filmmaker?
But so this one does have a lot of homages to the original. It has a lot of the same little touches. There's a glass unicorn. There's an icicle kill. There's a plastic bag kill. There's the Christmas lights kill.
Let's stop at the Christmas lights kill. So okay. I'm going to set the scene for the audience. I'm the, you know, ethnic, kind of ethnic. You don't know. I'm ambiguously ethnic. Walking into, I'm also bubbly, walking into the attic there to see, you know, I gotta, I'm finding some lights. I need some lights to decorate. I am going to take out in the big ass trunk that I have. That's like a 100-year-old trunk. It's a beautiful trunk. Oh, she pulls out all these lights and she's going over and plugging each of the lights in. She plugs in the first set. Oh no. Whoa, is my life. They don't work. She plugs in the second set. Same result. She takes out the third set. Automatically, you're like, oh, goodness. Here we go. She's got the 70s lights, which I would say 80% of the audience is going to go, ooh, Stranger Thing lights. Even though there were lights from the 70s and 80s, those big bulb lights. And she plugs that in. I'm like, oh, shit, that shit's going to work because, you know. Of course it works. And that was an homage to the light kill from the original. Well, yeah. All of them, because all of the films have had that kill as well.
Yeah, and Claudette's back.
Claudette, yay!
Claudette, the cutest cat in the world, makes a return appearance.
Her full name is Claudette Clone.
Oh, Claudette Clone.
Claudette Clone.
Because they did find one that looked exactly like the original Claudette.
Is that Claudette's like granddaughter? Is that?
I don't know, could be. And they, what was it? Oh, yeah, the phone calls. Now, of course, by, you know, in to jump backwards a little bit to the 2006 one, a lot of people still had landlines back then. You could get the answering machine. You could have the cordless phone going around with it. Now, I don't think anybody has a landline anymore. Not that many people do. So when they were going to have the obscene phone calls coming through, it had to be coming on their phone. But also now, everyone and their brother has caller ID. And even if you block it, you're still going to see it says, hey, no caller ID.
So what did they do? They catfished the shit. I'm sorry, I had to jump in there. They catfished it. They're like, we're going to make a fake account on like a fake like Insta kind of fucking place or Snapchat. We're going to DM you some shit. But cute, we're cute. It's going to be Calvin Hawthorne.
Yeah, the founder of the college.
Yeah, the founder of the college is DMing me with some fucked up shit.
And then the one time they did have a straight obscene phone call, it turned out just to be a bad connection.
Which was an homage, you would say, because then we watched the original again after we had already had watched it because Joe Bob Briggs chose that film. It was one out of the three films that he covered during the Friday the 13th, like Christmas.
Red Christmas.
Amazingness.
But yeah, overall, I thought it was a pretty decent movie. I mean, it's nothing like the original Black Christmas, but at the same time, that's not terrible. You know, if they had tried to just do the same thing again, oh, there's a guy hiding in the house, we can't get out, it all takes place in the same night, I don't know if people would have bought it again. Or maybe this was one of those movies that was something else, called something else entirely, and they picked that script up and said, look, if you can throw in a little bit of these things to make it, you know, some homages to Black Christmas, we'll make your movie. Which, I don't blame them if that was their caveat and said, hey, do these like six or seven things and we'll give you the money for the movie. I would be writing those in so fast it'd make your head spin.
I guess. I was indifferent about the film. I am indifferent about the film. It was too heavy in the social commentary. I was getting bitch-slapped by it and every turn, every breath that was taken in the film. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, oh, I am a woman and yay, you know, or I'm going to be like, boo. I'm in the middle. I'm not like ultra feminist, but then I'm not a hater. And I'm not trying to be a hater. I like that it was, you know, created by women, directed by women. It's refreshing to see other, you know, people coming in into women, to be specific, are coming into the genre and, you know, trying to make a mark. The film was directed and everything was, that all went together fine. The continuity was good. It flowed. It had a flow. Yeah. Was it slow in some parts? Yeah, but they're like transitional parts, you know, but overall, it was okay. The kills were fine.
I do feel like there's an unrated cut of this coming, though, where there's more gore and, like, the kills are expanded a little bit.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know if they were paying an homage or that was intentional, but that was, like, the whole thing with Bob Clark, that he didn't like to show gore and stuff like that. So they had that same technique in this one where there's a lot of cutaways, which, you know, you think about Halloween, people would say back in the day, like, oh, that was such a bloody movie. There's like one drop of blood probably in the whole film.
Yeah.
But your imagination just runs wild. So
I think if they put out like an unrated cut of this, it'll give everybody the best of both worlds. You'll be able to get all the people to see it in the theater, that, you know, the teenagers and that can go see it and be like, hey, I can go into the movie and actually see the scary movie. And then everybody, when it comes out on video, can be like, and now here's the gory shit that we want.
Yeah, it would have been better if they would have just named it something else, in my opinion. I don't care for revamps. I feel like, I'm sure there's tons and tons and tons of stuff out there that is good, that's waiting to be made. And this was just an easy, like you said, easy packaging of something that probably was created with another name for something else. And they're like, oh, Black Christmas. People already know that. But I'm like, three times though? Are they trying to be, oh shit, maybe they're trying to be the fucking Spider-Man of their genre.
Just keep remaking Black Christmas over and over again.
Yes. Maybe that's the fucking ploy. There you go. Boom. Mystery solved.
We figured it out.
So I give it 2.5 knives.
I'll say it's a 3 knifer.
Okay. Well, now we're going to go and travel down to a time where it felt like the late 90s, but it was just 2006 with the next Black Christmas.
Fifteen years ago, on Christmas Eve, his family became his victims.
What have you done?
A group of college friends.
That sucks. Everyone should be home for Christmas.
Are about to discover.
Lauren, we're opening up presents.
Why don't you open the present we got you?
Their house.
I got it.
Is his home.
All is calm. All is bright. Who is in my house tonight?
Don't you have lots of toys to deliver to good little boys and girls?
You really shouldn't provoke somebody like that.
And on December 25th...
You're definitely getting punked.
Is that Santa's reindeer?
All he wants for Christmas...
Is Megan in her room?
...is a new family he can treat like his very own.
That's
Betty's favorite one.
My favorite one. Actually, I'm kind of in the middle. update, I love the original just as much as I love this one, but only because I've seen the original recently. But before, 2 weeks ago, I was like, that 74 version, I'm just all about the 2006 version. What I really like about this one is that they gave more of a backstory to the Billy character. And not to get too much into the 74, but before, you just have, you know, your character, you know, he's Billy, he grew up in the house, went through some shit, and, you know, was in the sane asylum, and that's it. Like, then you have Billy doing his obscene phone calls, and within those calls, he plays multiple characters, personalities, Agnes, and Mom, and Billy. So with that, they created this whole backstory and a whole new, I mean, it's like a new film, but it's not, because it takes the best qualities from the original and puts it in here. So yeah, I really like this one. And you were saying that it's by the same guys that did Final Destination?
Yeah, they did the original Final Destination and did a ton of X-Files and Millennium, and they did that Space Above and Beyond series. They're a pretty good writer-director team.
Yeah, they really know how to, I mean, they just took that character and showed like how depraved and abused and royally fucked up he was, and how that really affected him in his adulthood and what he decides to do with his anger or love for the season. I don't know. It's like a love-hate relationship, right?
Yeah. He's kind of creepy. He kind of reminded me of the, Nick Stahl in Sin City. Where he's the poor yellow guy.
Yes. Several times throughout the film. Now that, like you said, this film, there's actually some landlines and there's cell phones, flip phones.
Yeah.
Right? And the character of Billy just, you kind of like, well, sorry, I kind of got lost in the original film. I was like, wait, he doesn't say anything yet. Because in this one, it opens up to a Santa arriving at an insane asylum.
Yep.
And in the insane asylum is Billy. And the Santa kind of gets like the history of, you know, Billy and how they always give him like his Christmas cookies.
Yep.
And, you know, my thing is like, was Billy waiting for this? Is this also an homage? Because, you know, the whole thing with Halloween that Joe Bob just did, was it an homage to like Halloween in a sense where he's just waiting the whole time until it's Christmas? Like Michael waits for that one time of year, Halloween.
Yeah, each of the holidays got their own killer. You know, Christmas has got him. Halloween's got Michael. The, you know, Valentine's Day's got the miner.
Yeah, they all, you know, you have to have that. Because the holidays are really either depressing for someone, or it's like the worst fucking time of year because they're working in retail and people are just fucking terrible during the holidays in retail. I can totally attest to that, and so can you.
Yeah.
And I mean, insert third option here. Like,
yeah. So this one, I thought it was really clever how they, you know, like you said, they took a lot of the, you know, just small little bits that were mentioned during the first one and really expanded them out. And I like the cast a lot in this one too. I like Michelle Trachtenberg,
Lacey Chabert.
Yeah, Lacey Chabert. What's her name? Kristen Cloak. She was in Millennium. She was in the X-Files a little bit. She was also in Final Destination. She was the teacher who's going to take him there. She's back in this one as the older sister of one of the girls, and she's really good at things.
Yeah, Crystal Lowe's in there. Adrian Martin makes a cameo. Well, she's the den mom in this one, and she played one of the original girls from the sorority.
Yep. I think it's really cool when they do that.
Yeah, and you said Mary Elizabeth Winston, right?
No, I didn't say her yet.
Oh, yeah. Scott Pilgrim. And she has an upcoming like movie coming up, too. I can't think, it's an ensemble one, but I can't really pinpoint exactly what it is. Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
She was also in the Ill-Advised Thing remake. Or requel.
Oh, goodness.
The requel.
And Oliver Hudson's in this movie. That's weird, right?
Yeah, briefly.
Yeah. He is brief. He has a purpose he has to serve. So, you know, they have this as, I wouldn't say, it's categorized as a mystery slasher, That's kind of weird, because it's like, it's not really a fucking mystery. You know who the killer is.
Yeah, so many places like to do that, because they want to diversify the horror a little bit and be like, oh, here's, you know, environmental horror. Here's this horror and this horror. Oh, mystery horror. The really real mystery horror I can think of is like, I Know What You Did Last Summer and Scream.
Yeah. Let me just say, and this one, and I only remember this from rewatching it, because if this was a trivia question, I would have totally, like, fucking failed. There's a kill before Billy gets released. And it's the girl that's in the house. It's the first one to get it. The girl in the closet.
Yep.
You never... Right off the bat, that should tell you that there's someone already killing in the house. You just don't know the connection until later.
When I first saw it, I just kind of thought this was maybe, like... the events being shown at the asylum were a little bit further in the past, you know? This was like one of those 2 days earlier kind of things.
Yeah, but then, you know, like, from watching it, that it's not.
Yeah, but it kind of takes you a minute to realize that. I guess they did try to do a little bit of a red herring with the, like, you know, like the, like, nerdy, kind of, like, plain-looking sorority girl that was, they just took because she was a legacy. And, you know, they kind of, they implied, like, it was going to be her for a while because you kept seeing, like, this kind of taller girl figure on it, and it was like, oh, it's gonna be her. Nope. So
it wasn't her. Yeah, they totally did that.
Yeah, they did pull the old red herring thing.
They did. Billy is just on a fucking crazy, like, what? First of all, imagine this. Billy leaves. He has this body he's dragging out, right? Because, of course, like in all things, he can't just, like, normally walk out of there or, like, kill everyone and, like, you know, alert the authorities that Billy's out. So he kills the Santa, takes his clothes, dresses up as him, and then leaves, dragging the bag of gifts, a.k.a. the guy he just killed. And he leaves, and then he just decides, like, oh, I'm going to go back home. I guess that's the only place he had ever been, so it was time for the holidays. You go back home for the holidays.
Yeah, he's definitely got some issues.
Yeah, that's not the place I would want to go back home. I would probably have gone to, like, where is this, up north? White Castle, maybe? Especially in the insane asylum. And I just ate some nasty ass... Those cookies look dry as fuck.
Yeah, once you got the insane asylum, I don't know if you want to go back to the place where, like, you know, your jauntiest teenage years, and remember that when your mom used to come up in the attic and, you know, rape you and... You know, now you've got your sister daughter down there. Ugh.
Claudette's also in it. Yeah. Oh no, Claudette's not in it. I thought Claudette was in it.
No, she's in the remake. We the 2019. We forgot to mention that Claudette was in there.
Oh shit! Did we? Oh well, Claudette was in the 2019. She's not in the 2006.
Not that I remember. I don't think they had a cat, did they?
Fuck! I think they had a cat. Damn, we fucked up. We gotta go back and now watch this shit just to see if they have a cat or not. If anything, there's at least a stuffed animal named Claudette. I'm pretty sure there was a cat, but because I literally have seen, we saw all of these back to back to back. Technically, I mean, we saw the 74, then we saw 2006, then we saw 2019, then we saw the 74 one again. So we've just been all up in the movie. So I've had nothing but cats in my eyes. I have little Claudette, like, shaped hearts in my eyes because I love her. And she's just so fluffy looking. She's like a marshmallow. Okay, no kitty in this one. I give this one 3 knives.
Okay.
Yeah, just to be fair, I mean, it's in the middle. I'm not going to say this is the best fucking horror movie I've ever seen, but it's a pretty good solid holiday horror film. It's sick as fuck, so I would not have any of the kiddies watch this unless they're like 15 or 16. I mean, it depends on, you know, your kid, do what you want. But there's some strong imagery and some very strong shit that goes down, psychological damaging moments in this one. Which, you know, kind of gives you, like, okay, well, that's the reason why he came out to be a fucking total killer. But the fucking ending of this one, oh, there's several endings. We saw all of them.
Yeah, I actually kind of liked one of the deleted ones that they cut out a little better. Where they, it was a little more ambiguous, and it was a little more like the original, where they get a phone call from someone that should have died, and they're like, oh, shit, it must be him. And it just kind of ends with them looking at the caller ID and the phone ringing. I kind of like that ending better than the one they had.
Now, I think Leslie Vernon came out after this film. I can't really fucking remember because that, to me, the movie's...
Yes, it was after this one.
Okay, because I was going to say it has a very Leslie Vernon ending.
Yeah.
But that obviously has been done in many other horror films where the character just like plops up in the fucking morgue.
Yeah, the original ending, the ending that's in the theaters and on the disc is just the your standard like, oh, we just didn't notice this guy was still alive. Brought him back into the hospital.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. But now, we are going to venture to the original. Insert 70s music here. Bum, 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 bum. That was my 70s music. I was trying to think of 70s holiday music, but...
That's good enough.
Nothing came to mind.
Now we're going back to the original Black Christmas.
Remember those idyllic scenes out of your childhood? Crisp winter nights, sleigh bells, crackling Yule logs? Remember those? Remember them well. After Black Christmas, they'll never be the same again. Black Christmas. If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight.
Rated R.
Oh, man. This film. Let's just go out and say, the fucking people in this film is crazy.
Yeah. You get some interesting people in here. And plus the fact that this movie is so 70s and so of its time, it's insane. Because, like, I can't imagine a time now where you go down to the police station to report a missing person, and your friend that's with you, who walks into the police station smoking, just cracks open a beer and starts drinking it while you're talking to the cops. Like, they would just arrest you right now and put you in jail. Be like, we don't care about your missing friend. You've just violated all kinds of laws, and you're going to jail.
Oh, man. The 70s. You can do all kinds of shit. It was great times. Great, great times.
Yeah, it was. But, so, yeah, this one was done by Bob Clark.
Bob Clark, who also did Porky's and...
Porky's and A Christmas Story.
Yeah, so you're like, what?
Yeah, he's had a few Christmas movies in him. He did some strange ones. He did, you know, A Christmas Story, Porky's, Super Babies 2...
Super Geniuses.
Yeah, Super Geniuses. He did one called Death Dream. He's had some strange movies in him. He had an interesting career.
He's dabbled here and there. And Margot Kidder. I don't question mark. What was the appeal in that time frame for this woman? I just don't get it.
I never got it with her either. I thought, even as a kid watching the original Superman movie, I thought, Superman, you can do better. I mean, you're Superman. This woman is like, she's very like obnoxious and loud and yelling at him all the time. And I thought, you know, she's nice to you when you're Superman, but she's terrible to you when you're Clark. Maybe that should tell you something about her.
Yeah. She's a fame whore?
Yeah, I was never much into Margot Kidder.
No, I wasn't. John Saxton.
John Saxton is in everything in the 70s and 80s.
And? The ultimate question, why is he always a cop?
He just has that face, I think. I think if you were going to cast a guy to play a middle-aged cop, I think John Saxon is the guy you pick. Because he looks like, yeah, I can do the job, but I'm just so goddamn tired. Can we just do this tomorrow? He has that look about him.
Oh, man. John Saxon and Margot Kidder. You got... You know, oh, Andrea Martin, who you would not know that she literally would have probably the strongest, ongoing career to this day. She's a great comedian. I love her and the stuff that she does. She's hilarious. So I really enjoy her. And she, like we just mentioned, was in the 2006 version. She plays the dead mom.
Yep.
And
you have the oldest college student in the world. That Keir Dullea, or however you say his last name, he's like 38, 39 years old in this movie playing the college student. But maybe he's a graduate. Maybe he's like a postgraduate. Maybe he's working on his master's or his doctorate in music there.
And he has a very interesting haircut.
Yes, he does. I think he had the same haircut in 2001.
Oh, damn, you had to mention that, right? It's dark outside. I'm already scared. Damn you. And Olivia Hussey. Who, in her time, was, you know, deemed to be the serious, you know, Shakespearean, you know, actress fancy. She was Juliet in Romeo and Juliet, where she was mad young and letting it all hang out in that one. You know, it was for, you know, purposes of the Romeo and Juliet, so it was a
it's Shakespeare. It can't be dirty.
Yeah, it can't be dirty if it's Shakespeare. And she's in the film. She plays Jess, which all the films, well, the 2006 and this one, obviously, has a Jess. I don't recall if the characters remain the same in the new one because I just didn't care to memorize them.
I don't think there was any similar names. I don't remember any.
No. Well, they definitely didn't have the situation that this girl has in the 74 version, which is she's pregnant and she wants to come, you know, she goes and tells her boyfriend that she's carrying.
The guy is old enough to be your dad.
Yeah. What's his name? Kyle Kerdula?
Yeah. Goes and tells him, like, hey, I'm pregnant. And of course, he's like, well, that's great. Let's just get married. You can drop out of school and start taking care of this baby.
Yeah, but he's a pianist and he has money and he will take care of her. And she has nothing to worry about if she, you know, carries the spawn, or I should say the, you know,
demon seed.
I was going to say prodigy. Maybe he was going to be a prodigy because his father was a fancy pianist.
I don't know how fancy he was. He didn't do a really good job in that scene.
No, he did a terrible job in that scene, but that's because he was so distraught over the vile things that this woman came over and told him right before his, you know, performance that he was going to have in front of, you know, the fancy people.
All three of them.
That she was going to have an abortion. And I was like, what? No, woman.
But you got to think, for a 1974 movie, that's pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy for her to be like, but it's like women's rights, you know, beginning right at the middle.
Back to the 2019 one.
Yep. Oh, it's a full circle movie. Watch out.
Yeah, this one, like we mentioned earlier, there's not a lot of like gore and that kind of stuff in it. Bob Clark was another one that was kind of like, yeah, we don't really need to show all that. We can just imply it.
Yeah, but let's not get cute and say that the obscene phone calls are very lewd. Like, they're disgusting.
Yeah. He had no problem, like, with all the disgusting things the guy said on the phone, but the gore upset him? I don't understand.
Yeah, he's like, what is it? Cover your ears, kiddies. It's like, I'm going to suck your big fat pussy or some shit like that.
Yeah, he said all kinds of nasty shit on there.
Yeah, my fat cock, you know.
And he's just like, oh, okay.
Whoa, watch out there. But you know what's crazy? That's a generational problem because it's just what you were stating in the other movie. You're not going to get that with a DM. Like, okay, fine, you know, the DM could be nasty, but it's worse when you can hear. And then he's, like, making the weird fucking voice. So it's not even a regular voice.
And back then,
it's like, you're a fat, fucking, fat, pink cunt. Like, it's just disgusting.
And of course, there was no caller ID back then. You could call someone 100 times a night, and there was nothing they could do about it unless they wanted to go down to the phone company. And as they showed on this,
that's what I was going
to
say.
This is like the most convoluted thing in the world to have to make the phone tap. They're like, okay, Bob, we've got the phone call going now. And he has to like literally like run down the phone banks looking at wires and moving things around and all this.
That was my favorite part of the movie because it's like high fucking tech. They were like, oh, do you not know how this fucking works? Let us show you how intricate this fucking part of like how
now
you get
they
a phone call.
Just go, okay, you're getting an obscene phone call. Let's take a quick look. It's coming from this number. Let's go over there and arrest those people
right
now.
Yeah, and you farted like 20 farts because, you know, it took you no time to look for that information. This guy's running.
Yeah, he's running up and down hallways. He's like, you know, he had to go manually tap the phones.
He's bending down. There's a lot of exercise. And this is not a young dude. This is a past middle age man.
And again, this one comes back to the whole thing of he's calling from inside the house.
He's calling from inside the house.
Which is an urban legend that went around. Now, this one, people don't talk about the reveal in this that, hey, he's calling from inside the house. All the credit goes to that
stranger.
When a stranger calls. I think it's because everyone saw that opening scene of that on that movie, Terror in the Isles, when they were a teenager. And, you know, they kind of skipped Black Christmas on that movie, so.
You know, crazy fucking trivia, When a Stranger Calls also got remade in 2006.
Yeah, Stranger Calls Back. Oh, yeah, so when they did the remake, and they also did a When a Stranger Calls Back, too. They did a sequel to the original.
Oh, goodness. But, I mean, what was 2006, the year for, like, making remakes? Like, hey, you know, Black Christmas and this other movie came out. Let's both have them in 2006.
Yeah, and then I remember Lance Henriksen did the voice of the killer on that one. Which, Lance Henriksen calling me would be enough to scare the shit out of me. I like the guy's movies, but if he just called me and started telling me he was going to kill me, I would just wet myself, because he seems like the kind of guy that follows through on that.
That's fucking nuts. I'm like, no, I'm not picking anything up from that phone call.
But yeah, this one also is a little different from the others, because, you know, there's like a random kill in this one, too, that I was never really sure, like, was Billy the one that just went out in the park and killed that kid for no reason? Or was that just a random other event that happened that night?
Another random kill, they never say. And When a Stranger Calls came out in 1979.
Yeah.
So who ripped who off? Obviously, do the math. Black Christmas original.
But yeah, so this one, like I said, I was never really sure. Did Billy do it? Did he not? They never really, because this one, like, it has the whole, like, ambiguous ending. Like, you don't know really what's going to go on. They still haven't found all the bodies. They haven't found Billy. They found who they thought did it.
He's still on the fucking... First of all, since you just went over to the end, let's just talk about this end, which, you know, Joe Bob had a lot to say about it. The pullback is the reveal. You see, you're like, okay, the movie's ending. It's the end of the movie. Pull back. You see the cop waiting there for, you know, the relief. Olivia Hussey, who... I want to go back, actually, a little. Olivia, I'll redo that. She's laying in bed, all discombobulated from her trauma that just occurred. And this fucker's still in the house. And the phone is ringing. Is it him calling? Is it another call? I mean, I would think it's him, because he is just persistent. He's like, I'm just not going to hang up. I'm going to let it ring for 9,000 years.
He's a telemarketer.
He is a telemarketer. It's actually his job in the insane asylum. They don't do license plates anymore. They just have you, like, do telemarketing. That's what he does. And you see, oh shit, the bitch is still in the fucking window, and behind is the other lady hanging. So you see that there's bodies in the attic. That it's like, how did there was police crawling all over that place, but they didn't think, oh, let's check every nook and cranny, especially if the call was coming from the house. But that's because of the reveal, which is what I want to talk about. Poor Olivia Hussey, man. The cops really got into her fucking head, because in the film, they insinuate many times that the boyfriend must be the one doing this, because he's disgruntled, because she was breaking up with him. She didn't want, you know, she was breaking up with him because they didn't know about the baby until later when it's revealed. And they're like, yeah, the boyfriend, it must be him. And she becomes really paranoid. That's why when he comes to her, when she's hiding in the basement, and he comes to, you know, I don't know, fucking talk to her again, which is like, give her some space, dude. You've been in her face the whole fucking night. Like,
and he has been creepily, like, looking at her from behind trees and shit.
Yeah, very creepily. So you're like, oh, it's another red herring. You're like, oh shit, it must be this guy. He's acting mad weird, when you know it's not him, because you saw this, you know. Well, actually, you don't know it's him, because you see nothing, because you just heard phone calls. But there is a time where the call is received and he's there, and that's what kills that. It couldn't obviously been him. This is not Scream, where he has his buddy calling from inside the house. Imagine, ooh, 1974, but Scream, but done in 1974. That's a fucking concept. Anyways. So, yeah, man. Poor Olivia Hussey. There comes a guy trying to talk to her. And next cut you see, fucking cops are coming in, raiding the place. And this bitch is just there with her dead man, blood all over the place. She done killed him. She done killed him.
She thought he was a murderer. Meanwhile, the real murderer is still chilling in the attic with all the bodies.
Yep. And you see a creepy, when she's going around, this is the other fucking part that pissed me the fuck off. When the guy tells her, the police is on the phone with her, he's like, it's coming from the house, get out. She's like, I don't know, I'm going to go to the door. And then I'm going to proceed to call everybody's name that I know that was in this house. So it's like, Jane, Valerie, you know, these are all made up names, because I didn't memorize anyone's name. You know, Jenny, and no one is saying, hey, okay, or whatever. I'm out, okay? I'm the fuck out. it is snowing outside. It's cold. And I'm leaving with my fucking Cher hair out of here. I'm not going to go fucking up the stairs. Like,
oh, I'd have been out the door so fast it'd make your head spin.
What was she thinking? I'm going to go up the stairs. Why? Why are you looking for your friends? They didn't answer. He's in the house. That's when she sees the eye, which... Did she not, like, have sex with her boyfriend? How'd they get this baby? If she's not looking in her fucking boyfriend's eyes. He didn't know that she didn't have... That he didn't have a creepy-ass brown reddish eye. You know? Was she just so hysterical?
No, she's so freaked out. Hey, I just realized maybe this is the movie they were talking about in Scream when she said that somebody that's always running up the stairs and they should be running out the door.
Boom. Yes.
It could very well be it.
Maybe, because that has happened so many times. And this is, like, one of the original films this would have happened in. Because, you know, this is, like, before Halloween, before...
Everything.
Everything, mostly.
There's a trailer for this that's just, like, before Halloween, before Friday the 13th, before Valentine's Day, it has the... Or, I'm sorry, My Bloody Valentine.
Before St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that's
way before St. Patrick's Day.
That's the one we're waiting on, along with the Thanksgiving from Eli Roth. St. Patrick's Day one is just the Leprechaun movies.
Oh, God. Imagine. Yeah, it is just the Leprechaun movies. What else is it going to be? There's that whole horror, holiday terrible thing that did, they did the snakes. I think they did the, there's like a folklore something in Ireland about the snakes.
Yeah, and he chased all the snakes out of Ireland.
Yes, and I believe that story was that for some... I think that's what their story was. I vaguely remember that, because I saw it once, and then I was like, I want to unsee this very badly. Yeah, the movie, the ending is very ambiguous, and that's why I found the 2006 very clever.
Yeah, sometimes the ambiguous endings are okay, but I don't like it when they're all, like, when you see several in a row where it's all the endings are ambiguous, it gets a little tiresome, you know? I need some closure sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't like this film for a really long time, but I have grown to really respect and really like the film.
It's very well made.
It is very well made. And it's probably... I don't know. I was going to say I like it more than Halloween, but I know that sounds okay. First of all, Shad's head almost exploded and he's shaking it violently because he just doesn't know what to do with himself, because I just said I might like it more than Halloween. You know why? Because we only have this one. Yeah, whatever. There's a remake, which is good. This revamping, whatever. Already erased from my memory. There's not 9,000 other versions of it that ruins the mystique of the killer. Yeah. Like there is in Halloween, and I'm good with that. I would rather have that. And I also don't have some other douchebag that went off and did his own, you know, fucking Halloween movies, which are fucking terrible. I don't have to have that ruined for Christmas, like Black Christmas. The remake didn't do it for me. I mean, didn't do that. It only added my love to the film. And technically, I guess it could be, in a sense, its own revamp, but in a very intelligent way, where they just took very small things from the original, little crumbs they gave you, and made a cookie out of it.
Yeah.
So, the 2019 version, whatever. Redbox it.
So how many knives would you give this one?
I give it 3.5 knives.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 3.5 knives, guys. You should totally check it out. It's on Shudder, I'm pretty sure, because they were just talking about it in Joe Bob. And, you know, watch the new one. See how you feel about it.
Watch all of them. See what you think.
Yeah, watch all of them.
Because it's very rare that you have, like, the same, you know, movie remade 3 times now.
Yeah, it's the Spider-Man of its genre.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, yeah,
but sure. Watch them and see, because I think they've all got some merit to them. I think the 2019 one has a little more to detract from it. Not necessarily because it's bad, but just because it was a little heavy-handed, like we said, with its social commentary. Which I think they could have done it, but they could have just toned it down just a bit, and it would have been a little more interesting, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this holiday horror edition of Jump Scare. And we will be back next week with our last horror pick, holiday horror pick. What's it going to be? Is it Gremlins? Is it Silent Night, Deadly Night 2? Who knows? Oh, maybe it's Jack Frost, which we both saw for the first time. Actually, fell asleep. I think I fell asleep. Or maybe I saw the other thing. But yeah, a fan favorite, apparently. Who knows? Check you back next week. Stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.